Brendan Burchard is a New York Times best-selling author. I read after Brendan a good bit, get his emails and read his books. Recently, he made the statement that there are just two powers that will give you the most growth and transformation in your life. Just two powers. Number one, Burchard said, mindset. Secondly, he said, habits. What you think and what you do are the two powers that give you the most growth and transformation. He left one out. Now, what you think, the Bible tells us, is essential. Man thinks in his mind, so is he. Your habits, what you do on a regular basis, the things you think and then the things you do. Let me tell you, friend, without the anointing oil of the Holy Ghost of God, you will not know extraordinary life. You will be without ultimate growth and the transformation that everybody in this place needs, and I believe really desires. So while my friend Brendan says mindset plus habit equals extraordinary life, I would say that mindset plus habit multiplied by the Holy Ghost equals extraordinary life. And in these Sunday mornings here during the month of May, I am preaching to us about the Holy Spirit. And we come today to Romans 5, verses 1 through 5, in a message entitled, and I've never heard this title given to the Spirit, the love of the Holy Spirit. I want us to think about the love of the Spirit this day. Paul says it this way in Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith. Anybody here been justified by faith? Say amen. Amen. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have peace with God today? You're right with God? You're at peace? Anybody that's been justified, peace with God, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. We exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance brings about proven character, and proven character brings about hope, and hope does not disappoint. Look at this. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. It's the Holy Spirit that washes over us and flows through us and is poured out within us if we're going to have life transformation, growth, and this extraordinary life that God promises us. In Galatians 5, we find that the fruit of the Spirit is, and what's the first one? Love. Agape love. That the love of God comes flowing out of us. The crystal, listen to me now, the crystal, everlasting, unchanging love of God comes only by the Holy Spirit. This crystal, everlasting, unchanging love of God, it flows only by the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I'm going to give you each one of these sermons. You got 7 points. All during the month of May, you'll find 7 things when you walk in here. This morning, we talk about the love of the Holy Spirit. And last week, we sat down on number 7. This morning, we're going to sit down on number 6. And then name number 7 and move into the invitation. Because there's some men, women, boys, and girls in this place that need to come forward at the end of this service and receive the love of God in Christ. There's some people in here that are walking away from God, and you need to walk home to God. There's some people in here never joined Olive Baptist Church, and on this Mother's Day, you need to come put your life in this church. You need to be a part of this family today. And we're going to move through number, but I want you, when we get to 6, we're going to sit down for a few minutes and talk to you. But I want to paint 7 pictures this morning. There's 7 pictures in Scripture how the Holy Ghost loves us. Did you know the Spirit of God loves you? Most people think He's just going to convict you and beat you up a little bit. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of God loves you. The love of God is poured out. If you have love, that love is poured out through you to other people. And it only flows with the Holy Spirit of God. You must be full of the Spirit in order for the love of God to flow through you. And when He flows, He's going to flow 7 pictures, just helping us get a thought. Let's go. Number 1, the Spirit of God, first of all, loves us like the love of a king. The love of a king, the Bible says. It's in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5 where the Bible says, look at this, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler, look at this, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loves us and released us from our sin by His blood. The Spirit takes the Jesus life and causes it to flow through us. And the first way that He loves us is that He loves us like a king. The Bible says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, according to Ephesians 6 and verse number 12. We don't wrestle according to flesh and blood, but against what? Rulers, powers, world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness that are in heavenly places. You see, a king protects us and fights for us. And beloved, you may not know it, but there are unseen wicked powers constantly trying to do you harm. Principalities, powers, rulers on high. And I'm telling you, the love of God through the Spirit of God, He fights for you and He protects you. You couldn't make it if it were not for the shield of faith and the application of the Holy. Did you know the Holy Spirit's working when you didn't even know He's there? He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's always at work. He's in this room before you come. He'll be here when you leave. And I'm telling you, when God goes to work, He's always at work. And He shows up in, well, some places you don't even think He knows about. He's a king. And He fights for us and He protects us. Number 2, not only does the Spirit of God love us like a king, He loves us like a Savior, the love of a Savior. Galatians 2:20 tells us that. For I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives. Where's Christ live? He lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself. For the Spirit of God loves you like a Savior. He comes. You remember in John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 29, John is out there and he's getting ready to baptize like these wonderful people were baptized this morning. That first lady that was baptized, there is one of the most phenomenal testimonies in that lady's life. Maybe we'll let you hear it one of these days. And they come to give their testimony, and some of you have never been baptized, and you ought to come down here and talk to somebody about doing that today. When John walked down in the water, he saw Jesus coming, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who has come to take away the sin of the world." He's the Savior. And the Spirit of God loves you like a Savior. He's come to save you. You're sitting in this room today and you say, "Preacher, I don't even know I need to be saved." Well, that's because the wickedness of this world blinds your eyes. But then the Spirit opens your blinded eyes. And you see the lostness in your life. You see, there are some people just living by logic. They just think, I think through it. Well, what they don't understand is the depravity of the lost mind that cannot see God, cannot know God, cannot know eternal things. You only know temporal things. And there's another dimension. It's the spiritual side of life. And it's when you open your life that the Spirit of God loves you like a king. He loves you like a Savior. He would save you today. He adopts you and He redeems you. Thirdly, He not only loves us like a king and loves us like a Savior, the Bible says He loves us like a friend, the love of a friend. The Spirit of God comes and loves us like a friend. John 15:15, we find this. No longer do I call you slaves, Jesus said, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I will make known to you. Did you know that in the Bible, God called Abraham his friend three different times? Isaiah 40 verse 8, 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 7, and then the New Testament in James chapter 2 and verse 23. God said, Abraham, my friend. Abraham, my friend. And in Genesis 18 verse 17, when he talked to him about being his friend, the Bible says that God revealed his work to Abraham, his friend. He revealed. Now watch this. When the Spirit of God loves you, he loves you like a friend. And he reveals himself to you. I want you to think about your friends this morning. One of the most crucial things you can do in your life is cultivate friendships. If you don't have friends, you are a poverty-stricken individual. You have intimate friends and casual friends, and you ought to have both. Casual friendships. It is people you know, hey, how you doing? I go down to the Wahoos game. I got a lot of casual friends down there. Hey, Pastor, how you doing? Hey, hello. And I've got other people that are more intimate friends with me. Those intimate friends, you reveal yourself to them. If I got casual friends, there's some stuff I won't tell them. They'll put it on Facebook because they are my, no, they're not my friend. They have friended me, but they're not my friend. You see, friends reveal things in depth. And the way the Spirit of God loves you is that He loves you like a friend. And He reveals the things of God unto you. You should know Him, and you should cultivate that friendship. He loves us like a friend. Number four, not only like a king, like a Savior, like a friend, there's the love of a brother or a sister. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 12, verses 48, 49, 50. Look at the Word of God. But Jesus answered the one who was telling Him and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out His hand toward His disciples, He said, behold, my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he's my brother and sister and mother. The Spirit of God loves you like a brother and a sister. And I stand before you today as an only child. I have never known the love of a brother or a sister. There's something about having a brother or sister that is enriching. For in that family of faith and domestic family, you share joys and you share burdens. And the Spirit of God shares your joys today. Some of you are here and you had a child that graduated from college or high school this month. And that's a great joy. For some of you, it's a shock. Some of you needed oxygen. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God loves you like He rejoices with you in that. Some of you carry a burden today. Some of you on this day have lost a brother or sister. There are mothers that come to church on this day that have a heavy heart. They have children that are not living as they ought live. Some of those we don't even know, and then others we do, because of a crush within their life. There are ladies who come to church, this is always a hard day, that want to have children that have never been able to. There are those that have lost children. I'm here to tell you the Spirit of God today loves you like a brother or sister. And He shares in your joy and He shares in your burden. No matter the depth of your hurt. There are people that have walked in here today with tears in their eyes that I've met already, that it's your first Mother's Day without her. And dear friend, the Holy Ghost of God understands that. And He, like your sister or brother, comes around you, and He doesn't say there'll be no tears, but He does dry your tears. And He walks through. Anybody here got joy or sorrow? Say, amen. Amen. God's with us. He's a brother. He's a sister. Number five. The Holy Ghost not only loves you like a king and a savior and a friend and a brother, He loves you like a father. Like a father. Hebrews 12, verses 6 and 10. Look at what the Bible says. For those whom the Lord loves, He, say that word out loud, disciplines. If God loves you, He disciplines you. Now that idiot preacher on TV that's telling you if you ever have a problem, you got sin in your life, you ought to turn him off. O-F-F. And if you send him a dollar, you're dumber than a stump. Because the Lord loves you, but He disciplines you. Matter of fact, this verse says He scourges. Your daddy ever scourge you? Say amen. Amen. If your daddy didn't scourge you, you ought to go tell him he didn't do his job. He scourges the one he receives. For they, that the earthly father, disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But He, that is the God of heaven, He disciplines us for our good so that we may share His holy. So that He God will raise us up to His standard. You see, the Spirit of God loves us like a father. A father rebukes and disciplines in order to raise us up. Amen. He raises us up. As a father, I've tried to scourge my children. That's a good Bible word. That doesn't mean you abuse your kids. It doesn't mean you beat your children. You can scourge a child without raising a hand. Some children you can scourge just with an eye. You just have to look. My daddy could do it for 50 paces. You have to say a word. Why'd He do that? Because He wanted me to be better. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God brings that discipline in your life because He wants to raise you from your stinking satisfaction of the flesh to raise you up to holy living. Amen. The Spirit of God loves you. Like a king, like a savior, like a friend, like a brother, like a father. Number six, the Spirit of God, we don't talk about this very much, is the love of a mother. Oh yes, amen. Isaiah 66 and verse 13. As one whom his mother comforts, so I, God says, will comfort you. And you, Israel, will be comforted in Jerusalem. God, not only through the Spirit, loves us like a father. He loves us like a mother. Amen. Comfort. When you're sad and lonely, rejected and discouraged, why, there's nobody like mother. And the way your mother could come, I remember those nights. That video that we showed to start the service, we're going to post that on our Olive Facebook page this week. Some of you will ask me if you can get it. You'd like to see it. It'll be on the Olive Facebook page tomorrow, and you can get that. Maybe this afternoon if Alan can get it up there sometime. All those hours that Mama spent. Amen? I have a ruddy complexion. And so if I get out in the sun, I get burned up pretty quick. As a kid, I'd go without a shirt and I'd get blisters. I have big water blisters on my back. Many a night my mother has rubbed my back till I could go to sleep, cooling my blistered back. When I hurt, boy, your mama's there, amen? Tell you, friend, the way that the illustration, she comforts the Holy Spirit of God. It's His name. It's what we call. He's the Comforter. He comes to us and comforts us. The Holy Spirit comforts us. And when we have the Spirit of God in us, some of you old moss back, rough hewn men need to have the tenderness of the glory of God within you so that the Spirit of Mom can at the certain time come through you. And Mother, you must be under the authority of God so that you can mother as God would have you mother. Too many moms keep pulling off what God's put on their children. You keep rescuing that child and rescuing that child. And after a while, you're going to have to let him reap what she's sown. That's a hard day. Very hard day. But the Spirit of God allows us to do it. Children. Lord, we ought to love children. Amen? Little kids. Do you know we've got an onslaught of young'uns at Olive? They're down there now. You go down and kick the carpet. It's like an anthill down there on that end of the bit. And they are already, they're asking me, Pastor, we don't have enough room. We got to come over. We need some of the other part of the education, but can you do something to move those adults out because we're about to be full up? Not just downstairs, but upstairs with kids up through fifth grade. Well, they're thick as thieves. But not do they just need room, they need hands. Now right here, I want to sit down on Mother's Day and I'm going to do two or three things here. So just relax for a minute, then I'm going to rush to number seven. The Spirit of God loves like a, and we need the heart of a mother in this church. I need you to volunteer to work in preschool. Some of you hadn't worked in preschool in 20 years. I have never worked in preschool. I'm always working when they're going down there. But on the third Sunday in July, I am on vacation and I'm going to be in Pensacola and I'm coming to work in preschool. Going to work in a preschool that morning. Not coming in here, not coming up here, not going to the office. I'm coming in like everybody else. I ain't shaving. I'm wearing old clothes. Get ready to get puked on. I'm just telling you, I'm going like... I said, preacher, I thought you was trying to get us to do it. I am trying to get you to do it. I just want to be fair with you that it's no picnic down there, all right? And after this service, I'm going to ask you to walk out of this building and go out there to the registration desk, and there are three people waiting out there to sign you up. And they'll work with you on the date when you can help us. You know, there are 56 Sunday school classes in this church. Do you know if we just got every Sunday school class to take one Sunday and go on a mission trip down there, we could have enough volunteers to take care of child care if you just took one Sunday and didn't have Sunday school? We could. Right now, if you've got a kid down there, they ask you to work every fourth week, once a month. I'm just telling you, we can do better than that. Now, the mamas and daddies that have kids down there, they ought to work more than the rest of us. Because their kids are down there. But there's no need for us to ask anybody to work every fourth week. I'm just telling you, we can do better than that. I said, preacher, I don't know. Yeah, you could do it. You could. As a matter of fact, our deacons that are on call, we've just added. There are three deacons on call every week. They pray over me. They walk in the parking lot so nobody steals my hubcaps on Wednesday night. Hubcaps. We don't have hubcaps anymore, do we? Well, some of you do because you got a car that's 100 years old. But anyway, the third thing we've given those deacons to do is they're on call. They go work in child care on their day. Do it three times a year. They voted to do that themselves. Say, preacher, who's down there? Well, look at this video, and I want to show you who's down there. You'll get some of this right here, all right? You get some of this. Look at this video, and we need your help. They need your help. Go out and see them at the table. Once a quarter, once a year, once every 6 months. Makes a big difference. Somebody kept you down there. You can do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to push that red wagon. I want to play with that dog. They're going to make you get a background check because we don't just let anybody go down there. The culture in which we live today, we have to be extra careful. So they do a background check. That's why you have to sign up. Can't just show up. I tried to go work down there a few weeks ago, and they said, Pastor, you can't got to have a background check. I said, I'm the pastor of the church. And they said, we don't give a rip who you are. You got to have your paperwork. Mom, the heart of a mother. Before I jump off in one more place, I want to just talk to mothers for a minute. If you're here today and in this service, I don't know if I do we have anybody? This is your first Mother's Day in church. This is your first, I want you just to stand up. Any first mothers, first time? Just first time? There'll be a bunch in that second service, I know. Anybody? Up in the top two over there. Okay, good. Wonderful. That's an important day. I had two or three I saw this morning in Sunday school, and I said, Pastor, first time, excited to be there. And I'm going to ask all of our other mothers to rise. If you're a mom, I want you just to stand with these that are on their feet. Now, ladies, thank God for you. We're grateful for you. And here's what we're going to do. And I've struggled with this, but this is what I want to do. All of you men that are still seated, because the moms could do this too, but we're going to just say to them as they stand, we honor you. But all of you men, I'm going to do it right here. I want everybody else, if you are physically able, I want you to slip out on your knees and spend just a moment thanking God for your mom. And if you have a lady who's the mother of your children, I want you to pray and thank God for that lady who has mothered the children that you've brought into this world. So men, I want you to hit your knees right now. I want you to pray. I want you to pray. If you can't get up, these ladies will help you get up, all right? Some of you are not physically able to do that, I know. Ladies, we pray for you right now. Father, thank you for a marvelous morning when we give honor to whom honor is due. For these that stand all across this room, O Holy Spirit of God, come with the love of the Comforter and say to them, well done. Say to them, I'll help you. Say to them, I'll sustain you. Lord, with these other men on their knees now, I thank you for my own mother. Thank you for the joy of being able to speak with her this morning. Give her a great day. Thank you, Lord, for all she's done in my life. I thank you for sweet Liz, for the mother of the two children that you've given us. Along with these other men, as they thank you, I say thank you. God, help us to honor these ladies, to work with them, to encourage them, and to simply tell them thank you for the task they would do without thanks, but for a task that needs thanking. Spirit of the living God, thank you for loving us with the mother's touch of comfort. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Ladies, God love you. We love you and thank God for every one of you. Amen. Now there's a seventh way the Spirit of God loves us. He loves us like a bridegroom, like a bridegroom. Revelation 19:7 and Revelation 21 gives us these verses. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come and his bride has made herself ready. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride, say that word, adorned for her husband. I was at a wedding yesterday. Brother Eric did it. I was just there. It was a small church wedding in a small church. One of our girls got married and she came. I was thinking of this sermon. Here she came down the aisle, adorned in that white gown. She had the veil down over her face. I don't know why I like that. I just like it when a bride wears a veil for some reason. It just looks cool to me. And it's down there. And then when that daddy has to remove that veil, I like that. Doesn't mean you have to do it. Doesn't even make it biblical. I don't know. It's just what one old country preacher likes from Alabama. But that girl wore the veil and daddy took it. And here she came adorned. Every time that old boy stands right here when I do a wedding, I step up on this right here, and when they're coming down that aisle, I look at him. I'm not looking at her. I've seen her 1,000 times. I want to know what's in the eyes of this old boy right here. Usually there's tears. He's looking. He's nervous. But he's ready to receive his bride. Do you know how God loves you? God loves you as the groom awaiting his bride. You're to come adorned in the holiness of the Spirit of God. And God's Spirit loves you. You say, preacher, I don't feel loved. Well, you need to get over it and begin to feel what the Bible says about you. See, some of you would rather believe your feelings than believe what God says about you. I'm telling you, God loves you. And he loves you like this groom, like the bridegroom, loving. I keep saying this, and we're going to have to deal with it. That in the Bible, the groom is always a male and the bride is always a female. Every time, there's no exception anywhere. And we're going to have to deal with that as a church. And what do we do? Well, we're just going to stick by the story. It's the way God loves that man, loves that woman. I'm telling you, God loves you. He loves you. He pours out his love. Now I got to go back up here and get something because I don't have this memorized. You saw it on the news. I did the funeral Friday right here. 52-year-old girl, car went airborne and into the front window and killed her. She'd had her mother's birthday that day, was home with her husband. He's sitting on a couch and she's sitting here, and a car went airborne and came through the front window, ran her over. He watched it. He told me in my office, he said, Pastor, it's like it's in slow motion as I watched that truck run over my wife and crush her. She died instantly. That girl's a member of our church. We met her in jail down at the Escambia County Jail. 20 years ago, Eddie Ashari went into jail, met her and got a card, a prayer card, and brought it back and gave it. One of our gentlemen gave it to Gene Ray, and Gene Ray went, and Gene Ray led this girl to Jesus. We baptized her right here, was a part of our church. Later, she left and went down to Myrtle Grove and started the Most Excellent Way down there. She traveled to around the world on a mission trip. One of my favorite photos was when Ron McNesby, who was the sheriff at that time, gave her a commendation for working with the interfaith jail ministry. It's not every day that an inmate is honored by the jailer. But God had so changed her life and made her a missionary. Years ago, she got saved. She wrote a poem, and one of our men kept this poem in his Bible for nearly 20 years. Gave it to me. I'd never seen it till this week. And I thought, boy, talking about the love of the Holy Spirit, this says it right here to me. Just listen. From the pen of a redeemed woman, she said this. When I was down and out of luck, when dark the path my life had took, when I was at my lowest low, a rope, a helping hand did throw. And pull me up out of the pit, and in the dark a candle lit, and for my hunger gave me bread, then quenched a thirst inside my head. This loving servant helped me see there's so much more to this than me. By helping me, she showed me love and led me to the one above. And now alone as I reflect, I find a spot of self-respect that had been drowning in my tears and had not shown itself in years. Let me through life now walk, not run, because the help of this true one did set me straight and on my way. and I'll remember every day. A rope, a hand threw it to me down in the jail. Some hand threw a rope and got me. Friend, that rope is the love of the Holy Spirit. Through Jean Ray, that's a female, through the rope, she says it in here. It could only be Miss Jean. Miss Jean, who's in heaven with this girl now. Who's in heaven with Eddie Ashari, who gave the card to Jean, who threw the rope of the gospel. Donna worked down at Hobby Lobby. She's my friend. Big smile. I don't reckon I ever bought anything at Hobby Lobby, but sometimes I just walk through to see her. I've never needed a birdhouse with a chicken on it. I just didn't. But I'd go in there every now and then just to see her. And every time I'd say, she'd say, "Oh, Pastor, Pastor." And she'd come hug me in that big smile. And I thought, there's a jail full of those people down there. Boy, I'm glad somebody's throwing the rope. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be throwing. That's what the Holy Ghost does. It's the love of God that is shed abroad, poured out through you. On Mother's Day, thank God it's poured out through Mother. Amen. But that rope is extended by the bridegroom to the bride. He loves you. Jesus died for you. And when you're full of the Spirit of God, then that comes through you. Okay, let's stand. Let's have surrender practice. We're going to do it all month. Okay? You'll get it before we get done. Hands up. Say these words, Lord, I praise you. Lord, I praise you. Now be very careful because it's crowded in here today. Going to put your hands out to the side like crucifixion. Lord, I die to myself. Lord, I die to myself. Now bring your hands right here to receive. Lord, I receive your anointing. Fill me, Holy Spirit. And let your love pour through me. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you're going to be full of the Spirit, you got to get dead to Ted, whatever your name is. Dead to yourself, and then let the unction of God flow in you. And when that love comes, it loves like a king. He loves like a savior, like a friend, like a brother, like a sister, like a father, like a mother, like a bridegroom. Those pictures flow through you, and you extend a rope. You remember when you messed up and your mama forgave you? I was an 11-year-old boy. My mother's drying her hair on a Sunday morning. Had one of those big bags on her head. Had the hose went in the bag. Remember that? Then came out there to a machine. Ooh. And she got on me. That made me mad. And I ran back to my bedroom, and it was just a little house before we built our next house. And I went in, I just flopped up on the bed, and I took my hand, I made an obscene gesture at my mother. I've never done that since that day. Unbeknownst to me, I could only see her back. But there's a big plate glass mirror on that wall. She saw it. In one fell swoop, she came out of that deal. And she came running toward the bedroom, and then she took a right. And I thought, well, maybe in Jesus' name she didn't see me. But she did. She came out with that thing. It's Daddy's belt. It was as long as from here to that door. And she beat me with it. She didn't whip me, she beat me with it. And she whipped me, and she whipped me, and we ran around in a circle, and she whipped me. And then she dropped it. And with tears running down her face, she looked at me and she said, "You'll not leave this house." We had a trip planned. Dad and I were supposed to go to Florida fishing. She said, "You will not leave this house till you come, hug my neck, tell me you're sorry, and you'll never do that again." Scourged. Took me a little while, but finally I went and crawled in her lap and hugged her neck. I kissed her and I said, "Mama, I'm sorry." Since that time to this, I'm telling you, I've cursed through athletics. I've scratched, clawed, cheated. But I've never made that gesture again. Not to her, not to anybody. Because the love of a mother broke my heart. Let me tell you, friend, God loves you that way to the thousandth power. I don't care what you've done. If you'll come crawl up on his neck and tell him you love him, he'll forgive you. And he'll say, "Welcome home, my child." That's been 50 years. And my mother's never mentioned it. Never mentioned one time. I'm telling you, when God forgives you, he doesn't keep bringing it up. You have to bring, but he doesn't bring it up. He forgives and forgets it. It's cast east to the west. What a Savior. What a Savior. It's the love of God. Anybody here need that? Say amen. Amen. John's singing. You need to say, "Come today." You need a church? Come today. You need to come fall on this altar? Come today. Come. We're here. We wait for you out of that balcony. On a mother's, I know it's a hard day, but it's God's day. You come. You come. While we're singing, come on. Unto the Lord. Unto the Savior.